top of the Forbes billionaires list, Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon, fourth year in a row. Tremendous, tremendous growth in wealth just over the last year. And guess what? He's all for infrastructure, he says, and he's all for a corporate tax hike to pay for the infrastructure. I guess because it's probably going to help Amazon, right? If we've got better roads and bridges and maybe a few drones in there. My gosh, talking about talking the book. It's all they do. Hello, everyone. I am Trish Regan. Welcome to the Trish Intel Show. And Jeff Bezos came out with a blog statement saying, and I quote, "We recognize this investment will require concessions from all sides." Yeah. You know, it's a little different, right? If you're Jeff Bezos and you own Amazon and you're paying 28% versus the poor schmo that's stuck with a small business paying 28%. I realize Amazon can like outsource all the back end to Ireland where you pay 12%. But anyway, I go on. "We recognize this investment will require concessions from all sides, both on the specifics of what's included as well as how it gets paid for. We're supportive," he writes, "of a rise in the corporate tax rate. We look forward to Congress and the administration coming together to get this right balance, to get the right balance solution that maintains or enhances U.S. competitiveness." Okay. Okay. So he supports it. You know, he can afford the accountants to come up with some really sophisticated ways of avoiding this. It's your small business owner that can't. However, I think we all know what's really going on. You see, all of these big tech companies, they've grown rather cautious, rather concerned about the big federal government that is threatening to break them up. Do not forget, Amazon, I've said it all along, this basically has become a monopoly. They are controlling way too much. And Amazon, as a result, very much faces the risk of the Justice Department saying, "Guys, you know what? Enough. Let's start to farm this out to some competitors." So he's there saying, "Oh yeah, we're all for the 28%. Just don't break us up," right? If you read between the lines, if you catch my drift. Anyway, it's really kind of sad to see how corporate America is so unwilling to stick up for itself. I mean, you look at what's going on with Coke and Delta and the MLB, and what you see right now is a situation in which American companies are so terrified of the woke police and the Biden administration that they won't do what they believe is right for the marketplace, is right for consumers, is right for their bottom line. Instead, they're doing whatever they think will appease these fringe masses. And I mean fringe, because if you ask the average American, you know, people would say, "Yeah, why wouldn't I show an ID when I go to vote? I mean, if I have to get on a plane or a bus or go into a building, I have to show an ID. So why wouldn't I show an ID when I go and vote? I mean, isn't it kind of all one and the same?" And don't forget, some of these companies that are talking about leaving Georgia and going to other places. Well, guess what? Those other places have even stricter voting rules, right? Like in some of these places, you do have to actually show an ID. Imagine that. So none of it makes any sense. It's all done to just gin up controversy. And you know what? We're done with controversy, okay? We're sick of controversy. We want a successful country with a successful economy and a real meritocracy that's competitive. We don't want Janet Yellen, and this is what she wants to do, Janet Yellen, to tax American businesses all over the world to pay for socialist programs all over the world. That's where we're heading right now, because they're not going to be satisfied with just handling America. No, they want to do it all. They want to do it all. Well, while they're at it, doing it all, I just wonder, when are they actually going to take care of America and Americans? When are they going to take care of the tragedy that we're seeing right now at the border? Paging Kamala Harris. Hey, Kamala, you going to show up? No.
Do you plan to visit the border?
Not today. But I have before, and I'm sure I will again.
Yeah, she laughs. She laughs. And, you know, there was a little boy that was pictured on the cover of the Daily Mail. And that little boy, who might have been 5 years old, was shown in tears and he was crying. And he told the Customs and Border Patrol officer that he was scared and that he was worried he was going to be kidnapped. All right, we have a humanitarian crisis. 177,000 people crossed our border in the last month. That's the most in 20 years. And you know what? kids are victims in all of this. And Kamala is just laughing it all off. No big deal. I think not. Okay, we're talking about that and a lot more coming up. In fact, I gotta talk to you about this company called Coinbase, because it's going to be going public in a direct offering on the NASDAQ next week. And wow, like, I'm not easily impressed. These earnings are insane, like ninefold what they were doing last year. We got to talk about Coinbase about to go public, whether this is maybe a way to play Bitcoin if you don't actually want to be in Bitcoin. 177,000. Think about that number. I want you to cement that number in your head right now, because that is the number of people that tried to cross our border illegally in the month of March. In 30 days, 177,000 people at the southwest border, of which 19,000 were children. How is this right? How is it that we have the most number of people coming to the U.S. border in 20 years? Does it have anything, maybe just anything, to do with the giant welcome sign effectively held out by the Democrat Party? I mean, look, you know, I get it. We're all pretty nice people here. And there's an altruism, I think, that flows through each and every one of us. And you see it over and over again as tragedy hits America and neighbor helps neighbor. I am not doubting for 2 seconds that America doesn't want to help everyone. But how much is it going to cost us? And what's the reality of the situation on the ground if we can't actually help these people that are coming here? And let's be clear, we can't. We don't have the infrastructure. We don't have the money. We don't have the ability to do this unless, of course, you decide we're going to take over all of Latin America and South America while we're at it. I mean, then maybe we could talk. Then we're calling the shots. We're dictating the policy. We're in charge. But the way it is right now, you've got governments that, let me just say, have not been looking out for their people. They have not, over the last several, well, let's say numerous decades. And so you have tragic situations in which people are looking for better opportunities. But if we don't have the capacity to manage this and to ensure that people can go on to do better things and not live off the system, then how does this really work? I mean, you think back to years ago when immigrants were coming to the United States, and I've been a big, big believer in how much that has benefited our nation. But compare and contrast back then, right, with right now. Back then, if you were from Italy, well, you know, you didn't want to get caught speaking Italian. If you were from Germany, you didn't want to be speaking German. I mean, it's a shame, right? Because it's wonderful to be able to speak all these languages. I speak three myself, and I dabble in a few others, but we discouraged that, or the families, I should say, not we as a nation, the families themselves, because they wanted to assimilate and they wanted to be American. There was pride in being American. Nowadays, you don't have to be. You can live in this country and never even speak the language. You can live in this country and benefit from the greatness of this country and benefit from the success of others with all the various programs and handouts we can give you, but you never have to embrace being American. And I think there's something sort of messed up about that, because every one of us should love this country and have pride in this country. And the left has taught us to be ashamed. I mean, when you've got situations like we have out in San Diego, where the teachers union doesn't want to go to school to teach the American children, but says, sure, you know, they volunteer to go and teach in these giant centers where they're all immigrant children that are here in the country that are now, you know, part of the wards of the federal system. That's okay? I mean, it's really sort of bizarre. It's this self-loathing that I think is dangerous. It is dangerous to our nation. It is dangerous to our economy. And all Kamala Harris and Joe Biden want to do is gin it up. You know why? It matters for political reasons. Charles Barkley got it right. He was speaking at the NCAA tournament over the weekend. Let's listen to what he had to say.
Shared that news, how painful it was.
Yeah, but the one thing I took out of that piece was, man, I think most white people and black people are great people. I really believe that in my heart. But I think our system is set up where our politicians, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, are designed to make us not like each other so they can keep their grasp of money and power. They divide and conquer. I truly believe in my heart most white people and black people are awesome people, but we're so stupid following our politicians, whether they are Republicans or Democrats. And their only job is, hey, let's make these people not like each other. We don't live in their neighborhoods. We all got money. Let's make the whites and blacks not like each other. Let's make rich people and poor people not like each other. Let's scramble the middle class. I truly believe that in my heart.
Smart man. Smart man. You know what? We've come a long way, America. We've got Kamala Harris in the White House. We had Barack Obama. He was elected twice. You know, they try and paint this picture that America is this really horrible place. But I still believe in our essence as a meritocracy. And I, for one, am not going to stand by while they try to tread all over it. And neither should you. So I encourage you. I know you've probably downloaded this podcast. Make sure you subscribe to it. Make sure you tell your friends. Go to my page, trishaintel.com. And most importantly, I got a brand new private Facebook group where we can talk about ideas. We can exchange ideas. I read every single message on that group. So I encourage you to go and subscribe to that. Again, Trish Regan's private group on Facebook. But coming up, let's talk a little Bitcoin, because if you're a freedom lover like me, you kind of love the idea of a technology that enables all of us to kind of get away from sort of federal interference, right? And sovereign control over the value of an asset, right? The value of a US dollar. And if you look ahead to the inflation that I do believe is coming, in fact, I think it's already here. I mean, it has to do with some of the reasons we're seeing such an inflationary situation in the markets right now. Anyway, you're going to start wanting to look at cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology. Well, the cool thing about the company I'm going to tell you about, which is just exploding, is that it's a way to play the space without actually taking all the risk of being in a Bitcoin itself. Let's talk about it right after this. Oh my gosh, this company's like a monster. It's incredible how much it's growing. So it's a cryptocurrency platform. It's called Coinbase Global, and it just came out with its first quarter revenue numbers on Tuesday, which showed a record first quarter. And you know what? Record is like, you know, it doesn't quite even, I think, quantify how much this really is, because revenue in the first 3 months of the year topped $1 billion. This is basically a platform for people to hold and exchange and sell and buy cryptocurrencies. And this stuff is exploding. Again, revenue for the first 3 months of the year topping $1 billion. That's more than the company made in all of last year. Quarterly profits, I mean, they are just through the roof. They approached $1 billion. The company's going to be going public through a direct listing on the NASDAQ on April 14th. And let me just share a few more numbers with you, and then we can talk about sort of big picture why this is relevant. But again, I'm just like falling off my chair, because they had 56 million verified users, which means 11.3% market share in the cryptocurrencies market. Revenue, let's talk revenue. This is the sales that they generated from the first 3 months of the year. They jumped to nearly $2 billion, $1.8 billion from $190.6 million in the same quarter of last year. I mean, $190.6 was pretty darn good, but now we're talking $1.8 billion. I should point out that the company, these are numbers according to the company, and the company is advising that the results are preliminary, they're unaudited. Nonetheless, I mean, this is pretty impressive stuff. Coinbase is saying that net income grew to between $730 million and $800 million from $31.9 million last year. First quarter trading volume equated to $335 billion. I mean, it's really kind of mind-boggling. So just so you know, Coinbase is this online platform. It's used for buying, selling, trading, transferring, and storing cryptocurrencies. And its popularity has in some ways really mimicked the rise of Bitcoin, which is, as you know, exploded over the last year, up some 700%. And part of the reason, I believe anyway, for the rise in Bitcoin is that there is some concern, there's some fear over what the Federal Reserve is doing and what our government is doing in terms of this spending, right? And if this continues, and so far, no signs of stopping it. I mean, record spending, trillion here, trillion there. I mean, forgive me, 2 trillion here, 2 trillion there. This stuff is adding up. And if it continues, you could very well be in a situation of hyperinflation that's very hard to control. Then the Fed's like trying to figure it out. Maybe they can't. Maybe they do. And maybe they do exactly what Larry Summers is fearful they might do. When inflation gets that high, they throw the brakes on and they send the economy into a recession. And then you really have nowhere to go. These are all the concerns that are out there, at least among the sensible crowd. And so there are legitimate fears about inflation. And so people are saying, okay, well, maybe if I've got Bitcoin, I've got some kind of value in something that's not subject to a sovereign, meaning a government. It's not entirely perfect, I would just point out, because Bitcoin's tied to the US dollar. And when it's tied to the US dollar, it trades in dollars. So then it's going to be affected right by the price of the dollar. So as the dollar goes down, as we get more and more inflation, then theoretically Bitcoin will go up. Maybe in some ways it's a little bit of a hedge. I again encourage everybody to be actively looking to put their money into the market right now and into diversified portfolios if you can withstand having it there for the long term. I'm not saying that there's not going to be some bumpy times in the future. And anytime a government prints the way this government is, I mean, you have only to look at some pretty bad times in history, whether it be Germany in the 1920s and the hyperinflation that they dealt with there because of the printing press, or whether it be Japan and how they've just had lost decades in Japan because they can't get out of their own way because they've printed too much money. Or go to Venezuela if you really want to get an interesting measure of things. And you compile the social component that's clearly going on with this administration, along with the lack of fiscal discipline, and you get a real disaster. So this is what people are trying to protect against. And this is why cryptocurrencies are interesting. Of course, there's still cryptocurrencies. So there's a lot of risk in there. This is one way. It's kind of like, you know, when you're trying to buy gold, you say, all right, let me buy the gold miner, because then they have not just the gold itself. They're going to be heavily correlated with gold, just as Coinbase is correlated with Bitcoin. But simultaneously, there's going to be an earnings stream that's generated just because of the business itself. Of course, you got to hope it's a well-run business. Right now, I mean, Coinbase can't really go wrong, right? When you talk about numbers like this. So check it out. It is going public. COIN is going to be the ticker on the NASDAQ next week. And let's continue our discussion right here. Again, I encourage you to go to the Facebook page, because that is a place where we can all communicate directly without all this interference from all the people that want to interfere. And we can talk about stories that are relevant and important. And I welcome research. I welcome ideas from all of you. So it's Trish Regan's private group. I have the regular Facebook page too. I encourage you to check that out. And let's keep our conversation going together. I'll see you right back here tomorrow.